This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys doing? The issue of child removal in the Scandinavian region, particularly in Norway and Sweden, has become somewhat of an international spectacle, a scandal of sorts, in recent times. 78% of the court cases which reach the European Court of Human Rights have been lost by Norway in particular. The issue has become so scandalous that there's even a film coming out called Mrs. Chatterjee versus Norway, which is due to be premiered on Bollywood screens. This film attempts to depict the life of a woman whose child was forcibly removed on bogus grounds, illegitimate grounds, unjustifiable grounds, and the trauma that she suffered thereafter. The issue has become so problematic that even members of the media, the Norwegian media, VG being one of the mainstreams of Norwegian media, one of the premier stations, said that this is likely to drag Norway's reputation under the mud, or ruin Norway's reputation. Today we're going to be interviewing an affected party who has witnessed these events firsthand. Now, we are not going to be identifying this individual because clearly identifying them could cause all kinds of consequences in their lives. So we are going to be distorting their voice and blurring their faces and so on, so that they can tell their story more freely without cost or repercussion. So you've heard my introduction. Do you think what I've said is accurate?
I think it's quite accurate. There is not enough media coverage about this, and there should be definitely more coverage around this topic because it's a serious matter and it's affecting many lives in Norway.
I want to go into a little bit about what happened in your family and what you've witnessed firsthand, because firsthand reports are, for us, the important thing. What happened with you, like in your family? What did you witness?
My two younger cousins were taken from the child services because they accused my uncle of being violent, a violent father and a violent husband. And they were taken for a couple of years. And I actually saw the family's reaction very closely since they often were at our house. They even moved for some time. And I remember all of them screaming, crying, and there were emotions like anger and confusion of why it was happening, because at that time this was unheard of to us, at least. And even today when I hear about some of the stories from other people, I often get those flashbacks to that time.
And I think it's caused you trauma.
Yes, definitely. Because when I hear about those stories, I can't even explain how my body reacts. I just want to fight everyone in the system. I want to shout. I want to scream. I get really frustrated every time. I even heard about a mother that passed away because she couldn't bear the trauma or the pain of being away from it.
This happened in Norway?
This happened in Norway a couple of years ago.
Okay, just going back to your own situation, you said that you remember when whatever happened. Tell us a bit about, first of all, what happened, how the children were removed from your uncle and your auntie, and then what you actually witnessed thereafter.
I was 14 at that time, around 14. So I didn't quite understand what had happened exactly that day. But the children were removed from the kindergarten that day. They got the message. The child services received the message from the workers at the kindergarten. And nobody got to even say a last goodbye, anything. They were taken. And I just remember that night, the parents of the children were at our house. And my mother took me upstairs and she tried to explain to me the situation. But as I said, I didn't quite get it. But a couple of days later, when I didn't get to see my cousins, that's when I think I understood that, okay, they're not long, no longer living with their parents.
How old were the children?
So kindergarten age, around 3, 4.
So you've got two kids here, 3, 4-year-old kids who are in kindergarten, yeah? And, you know, the parents have entrusted the kindergarten to look after their child for them. The kindergarten now, for whatever reason, decides to hold the children back. Social services or the protection services hold the children back and not give them back to the children, to the parents. Then you're seeing the parents react in these very emotional, justifiably emotional ways. Can you tell us a bit about how they reacted? What was their emotional reaction?
I remember them crying all the time. All of us were crying all the time. Prior to this happening, we used to meet each other's. We used to have gatherings at our grandmother's house because they used to live with my grandmother. And we used to have celebrations there. And after this happened, everything felt like it just died. We didn't celebrate some big occasions. Nobody made jokes anymore. The whole mood, the whole family was shaken after this happened. And even today, when I came, before I came here, I talked to my uncle over the phone, and you can hear in his voice how traumatized he is. You can hear his voice is shaking. He couldn't complete his sentences. Every time we discuss what had happened, the whole family just, they don't know what to say, because we are still in shock. Many of us are still in shock that this even happened.
So many people will be thinking now, well, if they were to remove the children, there must have been some real cause for this. This man must have been maybe sexually abusive, maybe. Was he an individual who harmed the children? Or were the parents individuals who harmed the children? Is there any evidence of this? Or what was their actual justification for taking the children away?
Well, they were all assumptions, first of all, because they claimed that my uncle was violent with his wife and with his children, that they saw bruises on the wife's face and the children's body. They said, well, at that time, my cousins both got those chicken pox. That's what they're called. They thought that those were cigarette marks that my uncle did.
So as a result of that, they decided, we're going to take these children away.
Yes. That was the reason.
There wasn't a discussion about if that was the case. I mean, even if they did think that the children were to be given custody to the mother, for example, and not to the father. Nothing like that.
Well, they are story makers. They make stories. So they thought that the mother, since she is from our home country, they thought that she doesn't have any relatives here except for her in-laws, so they thought that she couldn't stand up for herself. She couldn't get a divorce. They wanted her to get a divorce so that then they would give her back her children. So blackmailing. Do what as we say and you will get your children back.
So this seems to be a violation of all kinds of rights here. Like, you know, what will be considered in the European Union, for example, is human rights. Or even on the feminist ground, what would be considered as women's rights. So have you seen, for example, on the feminist question, have you seen any women talk about this issue, women's rights movements? Has anyone from the women's rights movements really talked about this issue and pushed for it to be changed?
I haven't seen any woman raising her voice to talk about this issue. No women here. Because those rights you're talking about, they're only for the privileged people. They don't account for the non-privileged people or the ethnic people.
So there is this lady, her name is Thune, yeah, who's a human rights activist, who's trying to, you know, talk about these things. But she's doing it on human rights grounds. And I'm just really surprised that Norway, a country as it claims to be a very civilized country where the Peace Prize is given and so on, there isn't more action to be taken. What kind of action would you like to be taken here?
Wish that there were a lot more talk about this in the media. It's true that there are some times when you read an article that's about a case where there has been a mistake by the child services, but there is no consequences. They don't face any consequences that are extreme. And in this profession, there is no room for mistakes. You have to choose your profession. If you choose a profession like this, you need to be sure that you're making the right decisions, because they really can affect the family.
Just to be very clear about the allegations that were being made, were they, in your opinion, were they true or were they false?
They were false allegations. And the thing is that they, since they have gotten their children back, they won the case after 2 years, they got the children back. Alhamdulillah, they are living with their parents now. But the problem is that they haven't received any apology, no remorse, nothing. And it's like to think just to invade a family's personal space and ruin their lives, take away their peace, and then show no remorse, no apology.
No compensation.
No compensation, nothing.
The fact that they've won the case now within the system is a double-edged sword of sorts, because on the one hand, there's some hope, I guess, you know. But on the other hand, that is an admission that they were in the right and the other ones were in the wrong. It's just a legal admission that, okay, these guys weren't doing any of that stuff, and that, in fact, these people were blamed incorrectly. They were unjustly treated. And the fact that you can have a child at the age of 4 years old or 3 years old who is taken forcibly from somebody into somebody else's custody, someone else raises your own child, and that not even compensation is granted, is incredulous, isn't it?
It's evil. It's the parents, it's their worst nightmare. And to traumatize them for their lives, they have now expanded their family. But before doing that, they were very scared, and because they're more, it's more pressure on them now because of their history with child services now. So it's a fear for their whole life. And it's no remorse, no apology, nothing at all. And it just proves that how selfish they are. It's like they're really just only viewing it as their job. So it's only their job, but they don't see it as the ethics. Where are the ethics? Where is the moral? There is nothing. There's no humanity in this.
I just wanted to ask you, right? You talk about they were removed and all these kind of things, and the families from, let's say, a subcontinental Asian background, the Muslim children, where were they relocated? Were they relocated with, in a foster care or another family? And if so, were they Muslims or?
So here's the thing. Not only are they removing their children from their parents, but they're giving those children to foster parents who have no idea of their culture, their background, their religion, their language. My cousins, for instance, they were given to a Norwegian foster parents or foster family, and they fed them bacon. And I remember my grandmother, she was very frustrated by this. And, you know, elderly people, they often have health issues. And when she heard this, she's diabetic, and we were all very scared for her health. These points are so important that you choose a family who have at least they can do is to choose the family who have the same similar culture, at least the same religious background. That's,
and they didn't even do that.
Nothing like that. It was a Norwegian family, Christians. I don't even know their religion, but they were not non-Muslims.
So just to summarize the point, the children were taken away from kindergarten because they had bruises on them, okay? Which could come about from whatever reason, which they apologized for thereafter because they realized that it was something which was incorrect because the judgment was recalled. And so the children were taken away from these Muslim parents. They were put into the care of, say, these atheists or Christian parents who are not even from the same background, and they didn't have any connection. They didn't even have any communication with their own parents, and they were given to these people. That's what happened.
Yes, no communication with their parents. They were given to these people who, as I said, they didn't know haram, what's halal, what's haram. And we even discussed this in our family, that imagine if they were girls, not boys. Imagine if they were girls. That would have been way more difficult for us to comprehend. Because, you know, for my uncle and the children's parents, When they heard about this stuff, they felt very helpless because they couldn't stop them from doing that because they don't have any rights anymore. They don't have the custody of their children anymore. So hearing that your child is doing that now, your child is not following the religion correctly, that's very disturbing for the parents.
It's very disturbing for the viewers, I'm sure, as well. There you have it, folks. A first-hand report in the Scandinavian region here in Norway of an individual who has faced this matter firsthand and seen the trauma that it has brought to their lives. Imagine, just imagine, a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old. You might be a mother or a father. You might have brothers and sisters. You, yourself, watching this. Imagine if it was the case that you, your brother, your sister, your children were snatched away from you and that you couldn't see them for years on end because of some allegation, some bogus allegation, which wasn't even compensated. You've missed 2 years of your children's life. Even in the animal kingdom, if you take away a child or an offspring from a parent, it would be seen as a great immorality. Animal rights issue. Going into the wild and doing that. This is meant to be a human rights issue. Europe is meant to be the bastion of human rights. Norway is meant to be the country which awards peace prizes. And the government here is responsible for the most heinous of removal of children. They've lost 78% of cases. Some cases haven't gone to the human rights courts, but they've not even issued apologies or compensation. This is a scandal of tremendous proportions. A shocking thing. This is something we need to collectively raise awareness of. This is something which, if we don't act now, the children of certain communities, which may be more affected than others here, let's be honest, are going to be continually removed. The abuse and the trauma will proliferate in the Scandinavian region. And that is why it's important to raise awareness. So I say, share this video far and wide. Let's make a change in the world. I'm sure we can. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.